Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm into my fourth and final week of teaching on As I Have Loved You. This is a brand new album I have out. And I taught this at a Houston Gospel Truth Seminar, and we have not only this new CD album, but then we have an As Seen on TV album. And you know, I just can't teach the same thing twice exactly the same. So there is a difference between the CD version and the As Seen on TV, the DVD version, but they're both teaching the same thing. I use some different scriptures, and so you put them together, you got even more teaching on it. But this will be our final week. On Friday will be my last day to offer you this teaching, so I encourage you to please get it. I've been talking about the scripture from John chapter 13, verse 34, where Jesus said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And I tell you, that is huge. And the reason I believe that we aren't walking in God's kind of love towards others is because we haven't received it towards ourselves. Religion has taught us a skewed version of God's kind of love. And they basically, the thing that corrupts it and pollutes it is that they have made God's love for us conditional upon our performance. And they say that God loves you when you're worth loving. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to be mostly good. And if you do that, then God will bless you, God will use you, God will flow through you. But if you sin, if you're living in sin, you'll have religious people come out and say, "God's going to judge you, God can't bless you, God hates you, God put sickness on you, cancer is a result of this, God did this." You have religious people saying God is the one who's causing the hurricanes, the tsunamis, the earthquakes, that this is God's judgment. And that's not true. I've been teaching against this for 4 weeks. The last series I did, I took examples where Jesus loved Judas and washed Judas's feet the very night that Judas was going to betray him. Jesus loved a woman who had been married 5 times and was just shacking up with the man in John the 4th chapter. And Jesus loved her and showed mercy unto her. In the 8th chapter of the book of John, Jesus loved a woman taken in the very act of adultery, and the religious leaders wanted to stone her to death to bring judgment upon her. And Jesus extended mercy. He didn't say that what she did was right. He said, "Go and sin no more." He said it was sin, but he extended mercy. How could that be? This is how Jesus said we're supposed to love others as he has loved us. Those are 3 great examples of how Jesus loved people independent of their performance. How can that happen? Because in the Old Testament it says if you do these things, the wrath of God will come upon you. The answer to that is Jesus took our punishment. God didn't change the rules. He didn't say that things that were sin are now not sin. He just took that sin and placed it upon His Son and paid for our sins so that now He can treat us just as if we've never sinned, because the payment has been made. And all we have to do is either accept or reject it. That's the only thing that we add to this equation. We can't earn the favor of God. It says, Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life. You just have to receive it as a gift. God loves you independent of your performance, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can't make Him love you more. You can't make Him love you less. The only thing you can do is either accept it or reject it. If you reject it, then you continue on and you will live an eternity separated from God because you rejected the only way to ever have a relationship with God. If you accept God's love, independent of your performance, then that love, that grace, so impacts your life that it starts changing your actions, and you will start walking in a new victory and in a new love towards others, just like Jesus said, that you love others as He has loved you. You can't give away what you don't have. You have to receive it for yourself. So I've been talking about this for 4 weeks. Now what I want to do the rest of this week is hopefully, if you've watched this, you've come to the conclusion that God's love for us is not based on our performance. And so how can I experience this love? Hopefully you've come to a place that, yes, God does love me unconditional. How can I experience this? I want to take some scriptures, a prayer actually, where Paul prayed that people would get a revelation of this. Actually, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, and then in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, he prays two prayers. And you know that the prayers that Paul prayed right here recorded in the book of Ephesians are according to the Word of God. 1 John says, "Herein is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, then whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him." So if you pray and you know it's according to His will, then you know He's heard you. Well, you know that these prayers are according to His will because they are written in His Word. They were inspired under the inspiration and spoken by the Apostle Paul. So all you have to do is take these two prayers in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians chapter 3 and pray these prayers, inserting your name in there. And instead of making this a prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesians 2,000 years ago, make it a prayer that you are praying for yourself right now so that you could know and understand the love of God. And then I guarantee you that this will come to pass. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 3. Here's a prayer that he prayed. Beginning with verse 14, he says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." There is a lot in that prayer. There's a lot. I could preach on this for a long period of time, but concerning receiving a revelation of God's love for you, here's some things I want to point out. He said in verse 17, the latter part of that verse, he says that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. Verse 18. Your comprehension, your revelation of God's love is dependent upon you being rooted and grounded in love. You know, this is making reference to like a seed. And in Mark chapter 4, the Word of God is compared to a seed. And it says it's like the seed is the Word of God, Mark chapter 4, verse 14. And then you sow it in your heart, and there's four different types of hearts, the way they receive. I've got a great teaching on that. But anyway, let me just say that here's one of the ways that you get a revelation of God's love is you take the Word of God that teaches us these things. The Word is a seed. You sow it in your life. And like it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, that a man sows seed in the ground and then he just sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He doesn't know how. It just brings forth fruit of itself. Man, I could get off the subject. This really isn't off the subject, but I could go over there and spend at least 4 or 5 days teaching from these parables. I've got other teaching that goes through this that will go into more detail. But the kingdom of God is likened to a seed, and our heart is compared to ground. Did you know ground is just made? There's nutrients in the ground. And when a seed is planted in the ground, that ground supplies the right temperature, protection, so that birds can't come and eat the seed. And that ground is just made to make the seed spring up and produce. Let me just turn over there. I've got to say a few of these things because this is such a powerful, powerful truth. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26, it says, "So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself." Man, that is a tremendous statement. Did you know God created the heavens and the earth? It didn't just evolve. It's not an accident. He created it. And He created ground. You know, dirt. People think that, man, I've had people say to me before that you're as plain as dirt, saying that that's just about as plain as you can get. And dirt, you know, most people don't look at that as being such a great thing, but dirt has these things in it, nutrients and stuff, that a seed gets planted there. It draws warmth from that earth. And God made dirt so that it just naturally gives life to that seed. I've read about seeds before that were found in the Pharaoh's tombs in Egypt, and they had laid dormant for 4,000 years. And yet they take those seeds, put them in the ground, water the ground, and these seeds that had been dormant, that life just came out of it, and it began to draw these nutrients from the dirt, and the dirt just made that seed grow. God made your heart like this. Your heart will make things grow, and it doesn't only make good things grow. It doesn't only make the Word of God grow. Your heart will make whatever you fill it with grow and dominate and control your life. If you are focused on negative things, if you're focused on what people have said about you, abuses and things that have happened, if you're focused on the things of this world and thinking the way that this world thinks, then all of that negativism, that lie and deception will enter into your heart and it will grow and it will produce error. But if you take the Word of God and plant it in your heart, the earth just springs. It makes the seed spring and grow up. You don't know how. It just works. Did you know mankind, with all of their wisdom, you could take the cumulative wisdom of all of mankind, you could pool the resources of every nation on the face of this earth and put the greatest scientists that we have, their minds to work, and they could not create one blade of grass that would reproduce. They could create something that looks like grass. They could create something that looks like a seed, has the same weight as a seed. It might fool a lot of people. It might even taste like a seed. But if you plant a man-made seed in the ground, it will never grow. It will never spring and produce a plant. There is something supernatural in a seed. There is something supernatural in the Word of God. And when you take the Word of God specifically, the Word of God about His unconditional love for us. If you were to take this teaching that I've been doing, get these CDs and DVDs. This is why we make them available. It's really not to produce finances. I have everything that I'm, offering here over the television. You can go to our website and you can get it free. You can download it free. We ask people to send in something to help us, and we ask for a donation of any amount, but we don't just sell the product. We ask you to give, tell you what we think it's worth. But I'm just saying that it's not about selling product. I understand the importance of a seed. I know that God's Word is powerful. It's changed my life. It's changed the lives of other people. And the reason I'm always pushing these products is because you get little 15, 20, 30-minute segments, depending on whether you watch the whole program or not. You get little bits and pieces of the Word of God, but you don't get the whole seed. You don't get the whole truth about one subject in one 30-minute program. Plus, many of you are doing something else. You're making breakfast. You're getting ready. You're putting on your makeup, curling your hair, shaving, doing whatever as you're watching and listening to this program. And it just makes a difference when you get these truths and you get it all together. You can sit down and listen to it. I know the power of a seed, and this is why I'm always pushing these products. Because if you would take these words, you know, if the television program, 30 minutes a day helps you, I guarantee you, if you were to get these teaching and listen to it 5 hours in one day, it would produce multiple times. You know, 5 hours worth is 10 times as much as one television broadcast, but it actually has more than just a 10-time effect. It will have 100 times greater effect because you're getting all of these truths condensed. You're able to connect the dots in a different way, and it just makes a powerful impact on your life. So I'm talking about the love of God, how Jesus loves you. How can you get that revelation? According to this prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3, you need to be rooted and grounded in love. That's drawing on an illustration of a seed, and then I connected that with the parable in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, that the Word of God is a seed, and you take this seed of God's Word, what His Word says about His love, you put it in your heart, and you have to leave it there. Notice it said over in this parable in Mark chapter 4 that this man just slept and rose night and day. And the seed just springs and grows up. He doesn't know how. If you were to plant a seed and then the next morning get up and dig it up to see if anything's happening, did you know it won't grow that way? I don't know how a seed knows this stuff, but it has to remain in the ground for a period of time and before it starts releasing its life. If you dig it up every day and then replant it and then dig it up and then replant it, that seed will never grow. It'll never germinate. Likewise, the Word of God, you have to put it in your heart, and you can't just do it for one day and think, well, I'm going to try what Andrew said. And so you meditate on the love of God today, but then you come home and you dig it up. You go watch stuff contrary to the love of God. You get into anger. You get into bitterness. You quit meditating on it. And then tomorrow you have a devotion on you replant the seed. But then you live your life during the day just being angry and bitter and critical, and then you have a devotion and you replant. You can't do that. You're going to have to put this Word in your heart, and you're going to have to let it stay there. You're going to have to not let other people talk you out of it. You're going to have to meditate on it and begin to start living it. And if you get rooted and grounded in love, then it goes back to this prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth and length and depth and height. Well, there's so much I could say about this, but God's love is not one-dimensional. I had an experience with the Lord March the 23rd, 1968. And if you would have asked me prior to that time, did I believe that God loved me, I would have said yes. And I did believe it. And I based my life on that to a large degree. But I didn't comprehend it. I just had such a surface knowledge that if you would have come along, like for instance, my dad died when I was 12 years old. And the church that I was raised in, the pastor of that church came to my house on Easter Sunday morning. I was dressed for church. And he came and told me, he says, God needed your dad in heaven. God took your dad home today. It wasn't God that killed my dad. He was only 54 years old. But see, the religious system that I was raised in said that this was God's doing, that God, for whatever reason, judged us, punished us. We weren't holy enough. Our prayers weren't good enough or whatever. And they blamed God for it. God didn't kill my dad. But see, I was told those kind of things. And the revelation I had of God's love at the time, I accepted it. That God loves me, yes, so He kills my dad. He takes my dad away when I just was a few days past 12 years old. That's not love. Let me put it into human terms. If I was to come into your house, and if you had a 12-year-old, and I went in and just took the father out or took the mother out and killed them, and then I go to that child and say, I killed them because I love you, I guarantee you, most of you would say, that's not love. On a human basis, if a person did that, we would throw them in jail. There's not a civilized nation on the face of the earth that wouldn't judge a person who kills somebody and then tells the child, I did this because I love you. But we do this with God all of the time. Oh, yeah, God took this person because He loves you. I've had people before say God killed this baby because He knew that they were going to grow up to be rebellious. So He just killed them before they could rebel. That's not true. God's not the one who's putting these things on you. But you know what? I accepted it because I only had a mental, intellectual knowledge of God's kind of love. But on March the 23rd, 1968, I experienced God's love firsthand. I mean, God poured His love out on me. I read about, I forgot, I won't mention who it is now because I might get their name wrong, but I read about another person who had an experience like this, and he said it was like waves of liquid love just flowed through him. And that happened to me for months at a time. And once I experienced God's love, it was different than just this this intellectual knowledge that I would have said, yes, God loved me. I began to experience the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. God's love is not one-dimensional. Man, God's love is deep. It's wide. It's like looking at a painting or something on the wall and you see something, but it's just one dimension. There's a difference between seeing it in a picture and then going there to where you can look up and down and around and you're actually in it. There is a difference between just having somebody tell you that God loves you and experiencing it. And this is what Paul is praying here. He says that you would be rooted and grounded. You need to take the scriptures, start meditating on them, let them take root on the inside of you, and then after this seed has been sown and begins to grow, then you will begin to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. You know, it doesn't matter if you really have experienced God's love before. I guarantee you there's more. I've experienced God's love 44 years ago. I've never gotten over it, and I'm still learning more about the love of God. I've never gotten over it. I don't ever intend to get over it. There's more. There's more for me to learn. It's not that God is the one that just gives His love out piecemeal, but it is so powerful that if we were to understand the love of God all at once, I just don't believe we could handle it. There's scriptures that talk about that no man can see the Lord and live. And I don't think that's because God is holy, and if somebody unholy comes into His presence, that He's just going to strike you dead because you are unholy. I think it's more like that God is so awesome that if we were to literally see God, and I'm talking about people see representations, and Moses saw his hinder parts, God put His hand over him, and he saw some of the glory of God and stuff. But if we were to see God in His fullness and in His glory, I just don't think that these human bodies could take it. We would literally explode. We'd self-destruct. I don't think that any of us can totally comprehend all of the things of God. We are in process. And I've learned a lot over 44 years, and I know that God loves me, but you know what? I'm still learning. I'm still learning. I had some things happen just last week. I hadn't got time, but I had some things happen last week that just shocked me about God telling me about how much He loved me. I'm still learning about the love of God. And this prayer is one of the ways that you get that revelation. You just plug your name in here and start praying and asking God to give you a revelation of the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height of the love of God. I've got a lot more to share about this, and I'm going to continue this on our program tomorrow. So I encourage you to listen in. But also, I would encourage you to get these CDs and DVDs. These are seeds. This is God's Word spoken under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you will plant this in your life, you will begin to comprehend with all saints how much God loves you.
I had grown up with God puts us through things to make us stronger people. You get healed if it's God's will. And if you don't get healed, then He wants you to go through it.
Listening to things that people said, like, you know, God's trying to teach you something. He doesn't heal everybody. He heals some people.
I heard people talking at church about, you know, God had a different plan and God made me sick.
The way I was raised, God would get you.
I felt like God had punished me.
The church I grew up in was big on just performance.
I was such a law-based, legalistic person and didn't even know it.
Really devastated with legalism.
I was operating in a law mindset. I had a law perspective.
Always being focused on the law.
Deep into religion.
I grew up in church.
I was raised in church.
A denomination that was very legalistic.
I came from a Baptist background.
I'm come from a Catholic.
I was raised a preacher's kid.
I was a missionary kid, grew up on the mission field, taught the Bible my whole life, got saved at 4 years old.
And I had been in and out of church since I was 5 years old.
I was saved when I was eight, and I was saved just to stay out of hell.
Saved and stuck.
Until we heard about Andrew Womack and he began to explain.
And Andrew just countered all of that with the Bible.
No one had ever explained those scriptures so beautifully.
It's just made me over on the inside. I'm totally different. I'm a different person.
And when I finally seen the truth, it was awesome.
And it still to this day is just amazing.
His teaching was freeing.
It grabbed my heart because I had never heard that our sins were not imputed to us, not put to our account.
This makes sense. The Bible makes sense to me. And he's ringing true to what I'm reading in the Bible.
She didn't have to perform in order to gain a relationship with God, that he loved you.
It took the religion out of it and made it all about relationship.
And then everything you've studied for your whole life, all of a sudden it comes into sync. It's like, pow.
The Spirit came over and just went, whoop, and it all lined up.
That clicked, and all of a sudden things became so real and so understandable.
And you get this revelation on the inside of you.
And I wept. I sat on the side of the road and I wept.
All of a sudden, the Bible made sense.
And now, I live in the blessings of God.
My life just changed. And it changed for the better.
Life has just gotten better and better.
Life is good when you have hope.
And God is just good.
We have a life now that we've never had before in every area.
What I found was victory, where we didn't have any before.
I really am grateful that he submitted to the Lord because I'm reaping the results of it.
On January 26, 2012, in a live event streamed on the ministry website, Andrew announced his decision to build the CBC campus in two stages rather than building it all at once. This is so the 1,000-member student body expected for the 2013 school year will have a building big enough to serve them. The Barn Auditorium, with its cafeteria and classrooms, will be the perfect solution to this stage of growth. We invite you to go to our website and get the whole story. Click the special message seen below the picture of Andrew and Jamie and watch Part 1 and Part 2 of Andrew's live update. Part 1 includes the virtual tour of the Barn Classroom Complex. Part 2 delivers a sneak preview of the main auditorium, scheduled to be built after the completion of the barn. But here's the best part. You've already funded 40% of the $20 million needed for the barn expansion. Because of the faithfulness of our friends and partners, we are world changers. Already, our students have made an impact on the nations. Russia, Uganda, Latin America, Europe, Asia, India, and right here at home. But our current campus is already overloaded. We'll be forced to use neighboring facilities to house the school until the barn, auditorium, and classrooms are complete. Think of the graduating classes of the future, 1,000 members strong, and more, who'll go out year after year to multiply the message of God's unconditional love and grace around the world. Why not join hands with Andrew and Jamie and help us complete this much-needed construction as soon as possible? Join the foundation builders who have already given and invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today. Write, call, or go to our website to become a foundation builder today. Our telephone number is 719-635-1111. Our web address is on your screen.